This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Take time to smell the roses. Real life stories from everyday life. And the author is Terry Craig, and Terry joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this special interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Terry.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, this is a great instructional book with a lot of sensitivity, dealing with the unexpected. Take time to smell the roses. Obviously, when we do that, sometimes those unexpected things happen that are very tough to deal with, and we're going to talk about those. Let me read what you have written. Take Time to Smell the Roses attempts to help you understand and answer the why, how, and where was God in all of these questions. Someone has said all of us must face heartaches, broken hearts, the burdens of life. No one ever said life will be easy. The truth is life is not easy. In fact, it can be very hard at times. If you have not had your burden, get ready. It's coming soon. They all come to one and all. They come suddenly and often unexpectedly. But God is always there, right?
Yes, sir, he is.
Now, in preparing to eventually publish this book, you went through some learning experiences, didn't you?
Yes, we did. I was talking with someone recently, and I told them this. This book is OJT, on-the-job training, and these are real life stories, real people from everyday life, just like the listeners out there listening this morning, that in many cases, something happened in their life that the last thing they dreamed would happen happened. Their nightmare came. And how do you get through a time like that? And this book helps share with others how some of the people in the book actually were able to get through some of the darkest times in their life.
And it's not just about other people. You've had some personal experiences, some very tough experiences. Share.
Well, one of the toughest experiences, and probably of all the chapters in the book that I've written, was the story of our oldest son. He was named Terry, after his father, of course, and he was perfectly healthy, five-month-old little boy. We had taken him to the doctor the week before the incident in the book took place, and the doctor had remarked how healthy he was and how well he was doing and everything just like that. My wife and I were just thrilled to death to have him and just having the time of our life with him. In fact, we were out shopping for Christmas presents for his very first Christmas, and that's exciting. Exciting time of the year to go to the stores and watch the twinkle in his eye and just be excited, you know, to have actually a family, husband, wife, and a child. We took him to church on a Wednesday night and put him in the church nursery while we went to the prayer meeting and Bible study service. And sometime during the service, the Lord came, or the angel of the Lord came, and took him. He passed away from crib death. They interrupted the service and told us that one of the babies in the nursery was very ill. We ran out of the church service to see the paramedics carrying him to the ambulance. And one day we were shopping for Christmas. The next day we were sitting in the funeral home trying to pick out his casket. And how in the world do you get through a time like that? People have asked me over the years, how did you deal with that? How did you get through that? What did you do? And one of the chapters in the book tells people how they can get through something like that. And from personal experience, how we were able to do it. I will say this, it's not easy, and the only way we did it was with the Lord's help.
Now, you're currently a pastor, and you obviously counsel with people on a regular basis that are dealing with similar kinds of challenges, tragedies, the unexpected.
That's exactly right. I not only am a pastor, but I have a earned master's and doctor's degree in pastoral counseling and Christian counseling. And I do deal with people going through these hard times just all the time. I've discovered, and this is something I've shared with people repeatedly over the years, when I started preaching years ago, someone asked me, just tell me why. You're a man of God. Tell me why. Why did God let this happen? And one thing has remained constant all of these years. I didn't have the answer to that question then, and I don't have it now. There are some things in life and some answers known only to the good Lord Himself. I do believe God has a plan, but boy, it's very difficult to accept His plan when things don't go like you think they should.
And that is the issue, like we think they should, and that really rarely occurs.
And you know, that's exactly right. And this is what I share with people. And this is a life lesson. When something like this happens, it will leave you, and it will affect the remainder of your life in one of two ways. Number one, it makes an awful lot of people bitter. They get bitter at God. They get bitter about life. They get bitter and they're upset. And if you will, they're mad at what God has sent their way. And sometimes their life is never what it was before, and they spend the rest of their life bitter, angry, and mad at God. And I've seen people do that, and years later, they're still bitter and angry with God. Or number two, it can make you better. It can make you better. And it's only one letter difference, an I or an E, but you can be bitter or you can be better. I've chosen in my life to accept the fact that God has a plan and He knows some things that I do not know. And I think He's working His plan for the better. And someday we'll understand it. Right now, by faith, we just have to accept the fact that God has a plan. So I'm not going to spend the rest of my life bitter. I'm not going to be mad at God. I'm going to do my very best to help as many people as I can, be a blessing to them, try to be there for them, and try to help them and encourage them to get through the tough times that they might come across in life.
As you read this book, sometimes you will laugh, cry, and even rejoice with the people in their stories as you see how each person was able to learn something from what they from what came their way and how they were able to draw strength to keep on keeping on. Now, that is a great, obviously, ideal statement to learn something from what came their way. Often, like you were just pointing out, we're not in the learning mode, we're in the blaming mode.
Exactly.
But learning, that's the key, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And lest people think that the book is all about sad stories, there are happy stories, there are stories like you just said, that will make you cry. There are stories that will make you rejoice and even weep tears of joy as you realize that God has worked a miracle in someone's life. There are stories just about everyday things that take place in life that we take for granted. So many things in life go by every single day and we just take them for granted. I've learned as I've gotten older that every day is a gift from God. And every day needs to be something that we're thankful for and that we treasure. Because the truth of the matter is, this is the only day that we have. We have no idea what this day is going to hold or what tomorrow is going to hold. And so as we go through life, if we can learn to look around and count our blessings, and for lack of a better word, take time to smell the roses. I heard someone say years ago about a very successful CEO of a leading corporation. They said, he's on the top. He's wealthy, he's successful, he's got it all, but yet he still takes time to smell the roses. So let's take time every day to count our blessings and see all the many things that God has done for us, and remember the good times as well as the bad. And someone said the bumps are what we grow on. So let's grow on them and trying to help others get over the rough spots.
And as you put it, learning from the experience of others is always cheaper and less painful. So, boy, let's learn from those around us.
Well, and that's exactly true. There are basically two ways you learn things in life. You can learn things yourself, and sometimes that can be very, very painful and very costly. Or you can listen to somebody else, such as your parents when you're a young person growing up, and you can say, okay, Mom and Dad went through this, they learned from this, but an awful lot of the times young people don't want to listen to their parents. But it's less costly and less painful if we can learn at the experience of others, and that's what this book is about. It's about everyday people. It could be anybody. Anybody in any family can plug a family member into any one of these stories and identify with what they're reading.
You say, as a pastor, you're often called upon to be a help and a blessing to going through, to those going through some of the darkest hours of their lives, and that on your way, you pray to say the right things. You know, you want to be there for them. But often you've discovered that just being there speaks volumes to those in need. Just being there.
Well, in one of the chapters, I have a brother, my brother Mike, whose son was tragically killed 3 years ago in a motorcycle accident. We went to the hospital. There are four brothers and the five boys and one sister. We went to the hospital that morning to be with him and his wife. And before we went, we met at my other brother's home, and I met with everybody. And I said, now, before we go, there's nothing much that we can do other than pray. But we can be there and we can listen. You see, being there for somebody shows them that you love and care about them. And sometimes just having a friend that you can talk with, maybe a shoulder that you can cry on, and somebody that you know loves and cares about you makes all the difference in the world. We can't change what has happened, but we can be there to help those that are trying to cope with it to get through it.
Often you hear people say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, you don't have to say anything.
Your presence speaks volumes.
Here's a verse that you have quoted, Romans 8:28, and we all know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
That's one of those verses, and the Bible has a lot of verses that we're supposed to believe and we should believe. But sometimes they're awfully hard to practice. When you're going through a very difficult time and you read that verse, and we know that all things work together for good, sometimes it's very, very difficult to see any good coming out of a very tragic situation. I've even myself in my own life as a pastor, I've prayed and I've said to the Lord, look, this is a mess. From my perspective, and that's the key, from my perspective, I'm not getting this. Please show me something good out of this. And you know, sometimes God uses the tragic situations and the heartaches to get the attention of other people. And it touches their heart, maybe like everyday, normal everyday life will not do. They see you living your faith, and they know you've got something that's real.
But regardless of what happens to us, as you put it, God has promised to never leave us or forsake us.
Isn't that a wonderful promise? I mean, no matter what happens in life, we know that we're not alone. I mean, we're not alone. We don't have to face it by ourselves. The Bible promises I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So whatever comes my way, I don't have to face it alone. And that's comforting, I think. You know, I think that it's always comforting to know you're not facing this by yourself, that he's there right there with you.
And often to get to that beautiful, lush, beautiful valley, we have to go over that mountaintop that is barren, it is straight up, and it is sometimes even dangerous.
Well, here's something to think about. You know, if you look at a beautiful mountain range, the mountain peaks and the tops are very beautiful. But if you look at the top of the mountain, nothing grows on the mountain, on the mountaintop. But if you look in the valley, that's where the growth takes place. So as we go through some of the roughest times in our life, if we'll let it, it can help us to grow and mature. Somebody asked me why I've written this book at this stage of my life. I'm a little bit older now. I think because I needed to go through that growth process. And now I have a story to share with folks. I used to believe these things, but now I've put them into practice and seen that they work, and I know that they'll work for others.
The title of the book, Take Time to Smell the Roses, Real Life Stories from Everyday Life, and the author is Terry Craig. Terry, tell us how to get your book.
Well, the book is available at Westbow Press. It's available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It is available in hardback, paperback, and Kindle. And thus far, it's only been out since March. It has been very successful. In fact, I've been told the success has been almost unprecedented. So the book has been blessed, and God is using it. Reviews are coming in from all over of people picking the book up, and they simply cannot put it down. I mean, folks have said to me, I started reading it, and I couldn't put it down. And it's changing lives.
Terry, thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to everyone by Westbow Press. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve, so much for giving me this opportunity.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Get ready for So You Think You Can Host, a radio contest with Kathy Bagan. Thursday afternoons at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet. So You Think You Can Host is a radio contest where you, the audience, get to choose who will be TogiNet's next great host. You, the audience, will get to choose and vote for who your favorite contestant is. And then when we tally and announce the winners at the end of the contest, someone's going to win a radio show. Every week, we'll bring new contestants with the most entertaining topics. Be sure to check out our voting page at SoYouThinkYouCanHost.com. Now, your host for all this is Kathy Bagan with Rise and Shine Products. You need to check out her website at WakeUpOnTime.com. So join us, won't you, for So You Think You Can Host, a radio contest and show with Kathy Bagan. Thursday afternoons at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Prayers of Light, Heal Yourself, Heal Your World. And the author is Anita Casalina. And Anita joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by AuthorHive. Hello, Anita.
Hi, Steve. Nice to be here.
Well, great to have you with us. You are a spiritual healer, and we're going to get into the details. I want to read just a short statement about what this book is about for everyone. You say this: I have seen people make profound changes in their lives using God's healing light. I find that people heal and change most quickly when they know they are connected to a higher power that supports their healing and wants the very best for them. You decided to write Prayers of Light because you wanted to help as many people as possible find their own connection to the divine and self-healing. Tell us about your background. Tell us about even your childhood. It started young, didn't it?
It really did. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I really looked back on that and saw that maybe there was something a little unusual in my childhood, which is that I began hearing the voices of the angels I have come to understand or decide. When I was very young, I would always hear instructions and help and just happy little things that I felt were inside my head in a way, but outside of me. And little things, as I was telling you earlier, Steve, it was the kind of guidance that a tiny child would want, not something that an adult would need to hear, but they would help me find my toys. I would hear a voice say, "Look under the bed, up by the headboard, that's where the teddy bear is," or something like that, and it was always true. And I would not have had that thought myself, but being raised Catholic as I was at the time, Catholics teach a lot about guardian angels, and so it felt to me like these were my guardian angels, and they were talking to me just to help, and they probably talked to everybody, and I just didn't think about it as being unusual. But as I got older, when I went to the University of California at Davis, I got a degree in psychotherapy there, and I thought, okay, I'm going to be a psychologist, and I began working as a counselor at the UC Davis Women's Center, and I would sit there with my client, and she'd be talking to me about something. I'd be about to answer, and I'd hear, "Oh, no, tell her that blah, 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 blah," and it would be something so different from what I'd been thinking. And I just finally said, "You know what, I'm not going to be able to follow this traditional protocol at all because, this is not what I'm hearing that feels like very strong guidance." And it was always very sacred and prayer-like, too. It wasn't just, mental health types of things. It was God is watching, God is helping, pray. And it was all these things that wouldn't have fit into that context. So I came back to the San Francisco Bay Area, and I really just began apprenticing and training with other people who were already doing sacred kind of work, or some people would say intuitive healing, or then channeling. I learned to have my guides or my angels, I call them my guides a lot now, but I'd hear the angels speak, and I would be able in that exact moment to have the words come out of my mouth. So that's what I've been doing for a long time as a healer. I decided that I knew some things about psychology after what I'd studied, but if I applied the gift of prayer and light and helping people find that connection to divine source and God themselves, that they really would feel a lot more comforted. So I've been working since 1982 for clients.
So tell us about how your book helps us to find the light, meditation, this healing that you talk about.
Yeah. Well, I wrote this book originally because I was writing prayers, or prayers were coming through me from my angels for each individual client I was working for or working with. So if somebody was depressed, we had a way of helping them visualize God as a sacred light that would move into their minds and make their minds golden. In fact, I have one prayer in the book that's called A Golden Mind of Joy, or The Golden Mind of Joy. And so that became a prayer that I would do with that particular client as a visualization that would help them. And then there were others with physical issues and other kinds of things, relationships. And I finally compiled all of the prayers and created this collection that became Prayers of Light, Heal Yourself, Heal Your World. And how this can help us is each of us has that ability to use our inner vision or our ability to visualize or even to feel, because some of my clients aren't very visual, but they're more what you would call kinesthetic, and they feel things, and they can feel energy come through their bodies. But a lot of people are able to, what I say, reach your mind up to the highest source, and that can look like whatever you want it to be. It can be a sunny sky, it can be the cosmos, whatever your own imagination can create for you. And then you look for that brightest light of God wherever you find that. And some people haven't liked the word God. I mentioned that in one of my writings to you, is that that's been the challenge, is finding words that people like. But it's very individual. Anybody can see it however they want. And that's the point. Each of us has our own connection to divine healing light. And there's no greater healer in the universe than God. So then you visualize and see that light coming down to you, streaming and flowing into your mind and into your body. And then from there, and that's why I call it heal your world, you can send that light into your home and clean your home. If there was a big argument the night before, move that energy out. Let God's light take the place. Or in a relationship, or someone you love who's ill, living across the country from you, send that healing light to them or to the planet. You know, with all these earthquakes going on right now, I posted something this morning on Facebook, which is about bring that light through you and let it really penetrate deeply into the core of Mother Earth and allow her to just breathe and relax, because she's got a lot going on right now. So we can heal our whole planet and our environment this way too.
Not only do you call yourself a channeler, you call yourself an intuitive healer.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that I also trained my own psychic abilities so that I can see the unseen or hear things that were maybe said a long, long time ago, that are the energy of which is still hanging in the air somewhere or is somewhere in the earth records. I do a lot of work with people who... You've probably heard the term medical intuitive. I've done a lot of work with people who are ill and have given up on doctors because they're just not getting the kind of relief that they want. And they sometimes doctors have even sent their patients to me. And at that point, what I'm looking for, and this is for all kinds of problems, I look for the origin or original cause of what it is somebody is going through in that moment. So somebody maybe has shown up. This is a true story. Someone came to me one time and she had acne, wanted me to treat that. And we did some light healing for her. We brought the sacred light into her skin. But in the process of doing that, I could see she'd had a very traumatic childhood. And we began to work on the childhood issues, and the acne cleared right up, and she's led a very productive life ever since. But there may be symptoms presenting themselves in a person that are emotional or mental or physical, but they may really have a very deep origin from something that happened, maybe even a trauma like seeing a car accident when they were 4 years old. And that's my job, is to find out where the origin of that problem comes from.
Is that something that we can discover for ourselves? Do you help us understand how to do that in your book?
Not with the book as much as using the sacred light. Everything I teach people in my workshops or in private sessions always begins with the sacred light. Now, I think that you can use the light to bring that to your mind and just start listening. You bring it all the way through your mind and body and ground yourself deep into the earth and keep that connection. I always say, then we become the bridges between heaven and earth, and we hold both of these worlds within us and are honored to be able to walk a sacred path. But once you make that connection, then, so I take it back. Yes, the book could help you. There's another thing that I do, though, that teaches people how to be more intuitive and more psychic, and that's to work with pendulums. And I don't talk about pendulums in the book, but starting with the light connection, I just don't do anything before the light connection is made, because I do believe these messages come from God. So even if a person is going to try to learn to douse answers for themselves to make sure that they are receiving information that is true for them, starting with the sacred light is a great way to do it. I also tell people, once they're connected to this God source, ask a question of themselves and see what the first answer is. It's called, you know, first flash, they call that, before we begin backpedaling and second-guessing ourselves. It's the God source that brings the true answer in before our minds begin to edit and say, oh, I don't think that's so good, that's not a good idea because, you know, so-and-so wouldn't agree with me or whatever, finding our true answers. But everything I teach always starts with this connection to the sacred light.
Is this considered faith healing, and do you still recommend that people continue to see their doctors?
Oh, absolutely. They should still see their doctors. Well, it is faith healing, and nothing heals better than faith, and even a lot of doctors will tell you that. I saw a doctor recently who I said something about God and healing and light, and she said, well, that's the highest healing you can have. But doctors and the medical profession or naturopaths or any of the other practitioners have other skills at their disposal that are just remarkable, but when you work in tandem with that, it's just so powerful, so much more powerful than if you just go to see the doctor. In fact, I tell my clients, before you go see your dentist, you know, send the light into your teeth, let them know that someone's here to help. You know how people get frightened of dentists, and it's just a great adjunct and partner with all kinds of medical practices I've found.
So you have some explanations, written explanations in your book, the how-tos, the
absolutely
the stories of success, along with actual prayers.
Absolutely, yes, and why it works with the different aspects of us, like our minds or our bodies, and that we can learn, for example, to use our own hands. I have one prayer called "My Own Hands Heal Me." And that's where you catch that light after you've really filled your body with light. You reach out like you're catching a stream or a fountain of water, but it's light. You visualize that and you press that. Like if your knee is hurting, for example, you press that into that part of you that's hurting and you visualize it really seeping deeply into the flesh and into the ligaments and all of that. And I've seen so many amazing results from people learning to do that for themselves. And that's the other aspect, I think, Steve, is that it's so self-empowering to believe that we have our own connection to that divine source. And yes, the prayers themselves are guided visualizations, and you read through those, and the light, it's a guiding, the words are guiding for how to move that light through any part of your life. And then people can go ahead and personalize that. If you have something you'd like to say in addition to or instead of, just substitute your own individual preference and words. And then it really is personal. It really is individual and self-empowering that way.
And the prayers in the book can be modified to fit any religion or spiritual practice as well.
That's right. I've taught these prayers to Christians and Muslims and Jews and New Age healers and Hindus, as well as people who question, well, I don't know, is there a God? I don't know if there's a God or not, I've had people say. And so I just say, well, then assume that you can use your own mind and catch the energy of the universe. If really what you only believe in is molecules and energy and all of that, then use that. And even those people really benefit. Of course, I prefer if people believe in the higher power of God, but if they don't, they can still receive healing.
And your book is written in clear, in a simple language.
I tried to make it so simple that children could understand it, or people who for whom English is a second language, so that it's easy. And I've had a lot of people, Hispanic people especially, have really love these prayers because it is so simple. And I try to put some nice photographs all through the book that illustrate in one way or another how the prayer might look or what kind of a environment you could place yourself in and what you could see in addition to the light that makes you feel like you're really in a sacred space. But yes, I tried to make the language so simple that I taught these prayers to children too. I haven't said that, but I have children of my own, and I was doing these prayers with them when they were very tiny, and they love it. We used to do light prayers before every meal, you know, before breakfast and dinner, and we'd take turns, and even tiny children can say, you know, I reach my mind to the highest source of light, you know, and bless the food and all of that. So it was nice.
Well, give us a concluding thought. We just had a little time left.
Well, I think just saying that God can be seen as a sacred light that then can be a fluid, that you have the ability to move through your life, through your body, through your friends, through your loved ones, through your environment. You can really steer that light through your vision, sending light where you know that it's needed. And through that process, you strengthen your connection to God, and you do incredibly wonderful work on earth and benefit yourself. And people begin to glow after they've done this practice for a while. They literally walk around knowing that God is living within them at all times. And I guess that would be my last statement, is that when we pray, often we go up to God and we speak to God, and then we come back into our lives and go about our lives. And in this practice, we are asking God to come to us and live in us, live within us and in our lives, so that we're never alone and God is a part of everything we do.
The title of the book, Prayers of Light: Heal Yourself, Heal Your World. And the author is Anita Casalina. Anita, tell us how to get your book.
Well, people can go to my website, which is anitacasalina.com, and that is spelled AnitaCasalina.com. They can also send me an email. I've shipped out big orders sometimes and overseas orders, and that would be letter A, letter C, at, and then my name again, AnitaCasalina.com.
Well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Steve.
Book Publishing, Anita.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's been really fun. I appreciate it a lot.
This special interview brought to everyone by Author Hive.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show, every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles, and then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen and listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole O'Dell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, For the Love of Emery's, and the author is Barbara Ann Simone. And Barbara Ann and her husband, Pete Simone, join us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Barbara Ann.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Hello, Pete.
Hello, Steve. How you doing?
Good to have you with us. Good to have you with us. I want to read just a short statement about the book that you have written. Christina's dream of owning a pet comes to a tragic halt after years of joy when her four-legged best friend dies. Heartbroken and filled with grief, she wonders how she will ever be happy again. Thanks to Misty, the magical dragonfly, Christina learns something about herself that not only helps her move through her grief, but also empowers her for the rest of her life. Well, Barbara Ann, what was the motivation? What was the creation, the actual beginning of this great story?
Well, Steve, it actually began with my personal journey. I had a dog named Emery years ago, and when he died, I was really at my wit's end, I would say. It was a very tragic loss for me, yet I had been on a spiritual path for like 30 years. So even understanding that as Emery passed on and died, and I had such a strong belief about where he was in the afterlife, I wasn't ready for the kind of grief that I felt. And as I moved through the grief and something happened to me I was uplifted and I was brought out of it, I decided that I would write a story for children to help them move through the experience themselves. So it's basically based on my own personal experience with Emery. Now, Misty the Magical Dragonfly is a character that my husband and I created in the story to show how Christina gets out of the grief. And that is our very special character that we would like children and adults to share to find how they can move through this experience themselves.
Well, Pete, how did you come up with Misty the Magical Dragonfly?
Well, dragonflies, if you read from a symbolism standpoint, are very unique creatures. First of all, they only live about 6 weeks to maybe 2 or 3 months, and so they symbolize living each moment to the fullest, and that's one of the messages in the book for the love of Emery's. Another thing is that they're born on water, and then they fly in the air, and water represents their feelings or emotions, air represents thoughts, and Misty's message is all about examining your thoughts and your feelings and being able to use those thoughts and feelings to move you through the grief process. Was there anything else, Barbara Ann, that had us look at Misty as...
Well, Misty's message of the changeless power of love is what I discovered when I was, you know, moving through my grief with Emery, that the power within my heart, that center of love, is always present. It never changes. It's always there. And when we're going through grief, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes the pain is so much that we can't love. And really, Misty comes, and especially in the book with Christina, to remind her that that love within her heart is still there. It's still there for Emery's, and it's still there for the rest of her life. She can always depend on that. So things are going to change. And we certainly know, we all go through these experiences of grief, of losing people or losing situations that we hold on to, but what we never lose is the love in our heart. And that really is succinctly Misty's message. That power within is always with us. It doesn't change.
As a matter of fact, Bob Rand, in the book, in the very beginning, you have a line here that says, ultimately, the awareness of the power of love is the magic bridge that will help us all travel through life's experiences of change, specifically when someone or something we cherish is gone. And that's one of the things that we found, is that this idea of grief, it's very personal, but yet it's universal. Everybody experiences grief on some level because we all have things change in our life.
And on top of this great sensitive storyline, the illustrations are bright colored and they just come alive.
Yes, Sarah Picorino did an incredible job. What a joy to work with her on this project. I'm so thrilled at what she did. I can't wait to continue to work with her. She's done some of the illustrations for our Misty's Magical Workbook and for Misty's backstory. So she so much captured the spirit and the soul of this story, and we had the opportunity to meet her over the summer, and that was just absolutely wonderful.
Tell us more about the workbook.
Well, the workbook goes along with the book. It's for parents and teachers who really want to open up a dialogue with a child about, you know, the loss of a loved one. And it goes right with the book, and the same characters are there. And, you know, there's pictures in the workbook of Misty with her wings dragged down. And what does it feel like? And so the child gets a chance to, you know, to explain and explore the different feelings of grief, of being dragged down, but then gets the opportunity to have uplifting thoughts and uplifting feelings and have that idea of the wings coming back up so Misty can fly again. So it's a fun workbook for children. Even though it's about grief, it really is a step-by-step idea to work with children to get them from, you know, feeling grief, having it move through them, and feeling better afterwards.
Barbara, why don't you comment about how this is actually being used down here in the Beaufort County school system?
Right. I work with a wonderful hospice down here in South Carolina, and it's a children's bereavement program where we actually go into the public schools and work with children who have lost loved ones. And we're actually using this book and the workbook this year to actually facilitate that idea of supporting children to move through the grief process, and what kind of things can we bring in that they will be happy to use and that they can relate to move them through that. So that's a wonderful opportunity with this program.
And you've actually used the book. You've shown them Misty.
We've brought Misty in. You know, we do fun things with wings and, you know, wearing wings. We have little dragonflies. So it is a very creative venture for children and for adults to work in this idea, to have a character that we can relate to, but you know, it's outside of us enough that we can handle the grief, but yet we're getting the internal message also.
And it seems this whole process is preparation as well for those who that hasn't happened to yet.
Right. I talk about that, you know, you can use this in the classroom if you know that your students lost a pet. Because, you know, pets are family members, and we know all the studies on how important pets are. So when you lose a pet, you know, it's devastating. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing to bring this book into the classroom to help children who haven't lost a pet be compassionate and become aware that a friend of theirs in their class lost a pet, and what can we do to support that person? How can we help that person get along? Because, yes, unfortunately, it's just part of life. Grief will affect all of us in some way, somehow.
Do you find any other book like this on the market?
Well, we use all sorts of wonderful books with our program, Steve, but this is what's different about this is that we've got this character that's so lovable and so likable that children can relate to. So this is something new, and it is our intention to get this out there, and we've got our website and other materials that Misty is a child's best friend when they're going through grief. That is our intention.
And you told me, Barbara, that you've dealt with the children, and that the thing that made this unique was that it was a story, and that they really keyed into the idea of a story.
Right. You know, I've written so much curriculum and worked with children for over 30 years in so many different venues. And we as adults, we all like to tell children our infinite wisdom. And what I found out is that children don't really want to hear so much our infinite wisdom, but they love to hear stories and try to figure it out for themselves. So what this is a great story for children to really clue into and let them, you know, and they do figure it out themselves. And I think that's why it's so well received.
Well, and a child's imagination just extends beyond the story.
For sure. And they really, you know, they come up with a lot of ideas because in the story there's so many different themes going on besides just that changeless power of love. There's the idea of how, you know, how do we bury our loved ones? In the story, Emery's gets cremated, and we bring, you know, all those ideas up. And at one point in the story also, we find out that Emery's is sick, but he's still going to live for a while. Is the cup half empty? Is the cup half full? So we've got all different ideas going on for children to really use their imagination and think about, you know, in terms of how will we continue to love the ones that have moved on, and how can we still go on with that?
Can this book be used by people of all denominations?
Yes, this is a book that can, you know, it's for all denominations, all cultures, you know, anyone, because as Pete had said earlier, grief is universal. Everyone knows what it feels like to lose a loved one. So many people know what it's like to lose a pet. I think this is a great gift for anyone, any adult that's lost a pet, because you can, as soon as you read the book, you relate it. I've had many adults come and read it, and they're teary-eyed but smiling, saying, oh, this is so wonderful. It reminds me of my pet, you know, a cat or a dog that they had, and, you know, what they went through. So, again, it's a universal idea.
And a universal message, a changeless message. As you put it, love is the only thing that is changeless.
Yes, yes, and that's where our power is. And, you know, I've been working with children, as I said before, for over 30 years, and that's always been my greatest intention, is to, yes, empower children from the inside out. So the inside, that inner spirit of a child, is where all the strength is, and that's what the Emery's book, and that's what Misty's all about.
Tell us more about your website, magicalplanet.com.
Go ahead, Pete.
Well, the website is put together to give people various resources, whether it's individual or group resources. The very first book that talks all about Misty, you might want to comment, Bob Rand, about Misty Comes to Earth, was written more for tweens and teenagers. It's a little bit deeper story and talks a little bit about Misty's history when she does come from her home planet of Nilrem to planet Earth. That book is available with supporting information in terms of reflections. And then there's the book For the Love of Emery's and the workbook, as well as information from Misty. There's free downloads that are available on the website for children, the special message that Misty has for children, and some more background. Why don't you talk a little bit about Misty Comes to Earth, Bob Rand?
Well, I don't want to give too much about Misty coming from another planet, but let's just say that it's a very deep story. So I would say it's really for teens and tweens, but it's a very enjoyable story about, yes, Misty the magical dragonfly who came from another planet, and how did she become a master at grief? What happened to her on Earth that has really created her to be this great messenger and the message about grief? And that's what the story is all about. And again, Sarah Picorino did some black and white drawings on that, and they're wonderful.
And of course, the great question that Misty's always asking, because she is this magical dragonfly, what's dragging you down?
Right. That is her. That's her key statement. What's dragging you down? And that's how she makes friends. And hopefully a lot of children and adults will hear Misty ask them that very question.
Didn't you say that was something that the kids remembered pretty well when you actually used that in the class?
Yeah, that's their favorite line. And they, you know, they would put, we had wings, so they put the wings on and they would, you know, go around and help each other. What's dragging you down? And they really enjoy that. So, yeah.
So it kind of opened up them to be able to talk about something that normally doesn't get talked about.
Right, right.
Well, and the story, too, develops for the child. As the child gets to know Christina and gets to know Emery's, it just kind of builds. You feel this incredible bond between the two, and they're inseparable. And all of a sudden, like it happens in life, Emery's gone.
Right. I mean, again, Sarah did such a great job with that. Because when I told her, I said, yes. Actually, there's a picture of Emery's and myself on the website. There is that special bond. And when all of a sudden that's cut from you, yeah, you know, it is a hard thing to navigate through. And here comes Misty helping her out. And, you know, Christina learns, as we all do, is that, you know, the person or the dog or, you know, the pet that we lose is forever alive in our heart. And we can choose again to love. But then that's not always easy.
The title of the book, For the Love of Emery's, and the author is Barbara Ann Simone. Barbara, tell us how to get your book.
Okay. You can get your book at our website, which is magicalplanet.com, and you can get it at balboapress.com. It's also on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble, so there's plenty of places for people to buy it.
Any other closing thoughts, Barbara or Pete?
Well, I'd just like to say that I'm grateful for this opportunity to talk to you today about Misty and about our book and about our whole website. And, Steve, if ever you need some counseling, go see Misty about Steve, okay?
Well, that's for sure. There are times when I could probably need to answer that question. What's
right.
dragging you down?
I agree with you. Okay.
Well, thank you, Barbara, and thank you, Pete. Thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing, and this interview is brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.